Right, it's just coming up to 11:32. You're listening to Michelle Ward on Phoenix 98 FM. It's lovely and cool in the studio. And I've got a lovely guest in the studio who I've met. I think it was met through Twitter, actually. It was quite a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, about three and a half years, I think.
And I'm joined in the studio by Catherine, who's the mustard seed cook. Now, Catherine does amazing things with food. I've been to a couple of supper clubs as well. You can find out more, all the W's at mustardseedcooking.co.uk. And we'll talk about Twitter and Facebook, because you are very you're on there all the time doing
love,
bits and pieces.
Love my social media.
Now tell everybody, first of all, before we talk about the cookery, Mustard Seed Cook, where did the name come from?
Well, mustard seed is actually a biblical reference.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm a Christian.
Yep.
And therefore, I wanted to honour God, if you like, with my business. We're not a church. We're not trying to preach, evangelise, or any of that stuff. But it's just a reference. It's there.
Oh, right. Well, I must admit, whenever I see you, you're always smiling, so you must be doing something right. I never see you I never see you frowning. You're always really positive.
Well, we'd like to think that we bless people with our food. That's what we're trying to do.
Now, tell us about the supper clubs, because I've been really lucky to been to three of the supper clubs where I've been performing and doing some music as well. But tell everybody about the idea and how you actually came up with the idea as well.
Okay, so supper club as a concept is not new. It's quite a vibrant scene in London. There are everywhere you go, you can probably find one. It's like a cross between a restaurant meal and a private dinner party. So about once a month, we open our home for up to 20 diners for a sit-down, fixed menu, 4 or 5-course meal, on a theme. So that theme, as you know, could be American Independence Day, jazz, blues, that type of thing we've done with you, or we've done Mexican nights, we've done Japanese nights, French, Italian, etc. And indeed, over the autumn, we've got a Mexican night for Mexican Independence Day, and we're going to do a Bavarian night, an Oktoberfest.
Oh, wow.
Night. That's a new departure for us. But so the idea is that people come along either by themselves or with friends and have a great time. They're all seated together in long tables. So part of the experience is getting to know other people as well as, yeah, you know, having a lovely restaurant quality meal, we hope.
And also you bring your own drink as well, don't you? Just bring your own alcohol.
Absolutely. So we're not licensed, so people need to bring their own, yeah.
But you do get a little taster as you get in.
We like to give you a complimentary little something to get you going.
What was the one I had last year? I loved that drink last year.
I think we'd done either a mint julep when you
were
did.
That was it. I tried to recreate that at home and failed miserably. But
yeah,
it was lovely.
Certainly the Long Island iced tea, I think we did the previous year. Lots of people have asked me for the recipe for that one.
Now, how did you, I mean, you know, most people say they've got maybe one or two dishes that they can cook when they have a dinner party, and you normally stick to the same thing. But with you, you're cooking all types of cuisine. How do you do that?
Okay, so I guess I have a really good grounding in modern European type cooking. I've never been frightened to experiment. I don't like to follow recipes to the letter, so I've always been pretty creative, and I love researching. So if it's a new theme, and we do go, you know, I mean, I'm when we did the Japanese night, I love Japanese food, love sushi, but I'd not been to Japan, but I like to research, so I went and met a Japanese chef and had a Japanese cooking class and went through my menu with that person, did this sound authentic, tried a few things out, and that way I expand my repertoire at the same time and have a lot of fun. And I now do sushi classes, and I've had somebody come along to my sushi class saying that was the best sushi they'd ever eaten. I'm like, I'd like to have been to Japan, but I haven't. So I'm just not frightened to research and to have a go, and I pay particular attention to detail. So I like things to be authentic, and I like to pay attention to detail. So if it's not right, then I won't serve it.
Now, what's the most difficult when you're catering for up to 20 people rather than doing 4 people at a dinner table, which is probably a little bit easier, 20, which we'd all panic from run screaming from the kitchen. What's the most difficult dish that you've actually prepared, and why was it so difficult for 20 people?
Well, sometimes I'm surprised. Sometimes it's the easy things that are difficult to prepare because I don't consider the time it will take to do for 20. So a good example of that is the mason jar salads that we had for the American Independence Day.
Oh, yeah, they were gorgeous.
The most simple thing, a seven-layered salad in a mason jar. Seven different ingredients and a couple of dressings to choose from. I just didn't account for the time it would take to both chop and then layer neatly all those layers of ingredients. Mm. So that type of thing can be frustrating because you think, well, that's easy. I don't even need to think about that. All I'm doing is chopping and layering. Yep. And actually, you get behind because, you know, and other things that are more complicated because you've focused a lot of attention on them early. The most difficult thing about the whole thing is the planning.
Yep.
So it's the thinking and the planning that goes in behind it that works out what I can and can't do menu-wise in the time I've got and with the equipment I've got because I'm working in a normal domestic kitchen.
Yeah.
That's the thing that takes the time. I write everything down, clear instructions, and then I follow my own instructions. What am I meant to be doing at 8 o'clock? Oh, I'm meant to be grilling this, or I'm meant to be frying this, or whatever.
Yeah.
So
with the supper clubs as well, if you do take a look at the website, it's all the W's, mustardseedcooking.co.uk. You can find out, and you can go on your own. You don't have to bring somebody with you. You can go on your own, and you'll meet new friends. And it's all safe, lovely house, and you meet, just it's really fabulous, and the food is tremendous. So if you're on your own, that's a good way to get out and meet people as well. And also, you run your cookery classes as well. So when did you start doing those?
Okay, so the cooking classes I actually started before the supper club. So I started that in 2010, and that's just because there's a bit of a teacher in me that's always wanted to get out, and I wanted to show people how to cook really simple dishes from scratch. The thing that I'm passionate about is cooking from scratch. I don't like to use convenience foods, and so any manner of things I might teach on. So we very simple. So family frugal meals is something that I've been doing recently. It might be let's make pasta. It might be French family cooking. I'm not really looking specifically at techniques. You know, if you want to go do a knife skills course, go do that somewhere else. What I'm looking is to teach people really simple recipes, ultimately really tasty, that they can go home, cook themselves, and go, wow, I did that. I didn't normally do that. I didn't think I could do that. I think a lot of chefs make it very complicated and like they're very flashy, and actually cooking from scratch is really easy.
And who would you say that you base yourself at? All the there's TV celebrity chefs everywhere, but who would you say that your cooking style is most like? Is there somebody that you could pick out, or maybe one or two chefs that you could kind of say that's more me?
Yeah, I think I'm much more Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall, Jamie Oliver type of cook than if you want to put, say, Heston Blumenthal at the other end. With Supper Club, we're not trying to imitate a fine dining restaurant. We don't want to be doing firms. We want the very, very best of home cooking.
Yeah.
And we like, because we have an allotment and chickens as well, we like to use a lot of homegrown produce where we can. So, yes, it's much more... Yeah, Jamie Oliver, Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall style of have a go, bold, vibrant flavours. Mm. We want to do bold dishes from all corners of the earth and show people how to put great, family cooking on their table.
Now, what's your next cookery course? And when tell us a little bit more about the cookery courses, when they're running.
Okay, so the next one is this Thursday, as it happens. We're doing Let's Make Tapas and Paella. So I've already done a couple of just tapas classes over the last few weeks. With this one, we're going to stick in a paella as well, just because I love that style of cooking. So we always do... five recipes. Sometimes we're doing them together, so guests get to have a go with me. Sometimes it's more demonstration, and we always eat, because eating around the table is kind of the expression and how, if you like, I like to bless people. So whatever we do, you'll always eat. So I think on Thursday we're going to be doing some tiny peppers stuffed with almonds and breadcrumbs and thyme. I'm going to make a big tortilla española. We're going to do some king prawns in garlic and parsley because, who doesn't love those?
Yep.
And then we'll make a big paella as well. Early August, I'm doing al fresco dining class. That's at Sawbridgeworth. I do some classes for a kitchen showroom over there.
Yeah.
So that's for people slightly more towards the heart side of, well, actually in Hertfordshire, I think. So that's looking at alternatives to the barbecue, great things to eat outdoors. The weather's been so fantastic, it seems appropriate. And then we'll be going on to family frugal cooking in September, and also pickles and preserves. I love to preserve things. If I've got a row of jars on my shelf, I'm happy with chutneys and pickles and jams and whatever. So we'll go on to that come harvest time, come end of September, beginning of October. So those are classes lined up for the next sort of 2 months.
Now, you've got, we'll just go through, you're on Twitter, you are Mustard Seed Cook. On Facebook, it's all the W's, facebook.com/ Mustard Seed Cooking.
Yep.
And then you've got Pinterest, which is pinterest.com/ Mustard Seed Cook again. But we will put up all the details. But don't forget, the main one is the website, which is mustardseedcooking.co.uk. Now, you've got some tips for us as well.
Well, I'm really conscious how much the cost of living has gone up. And I shop an awful lot, not least of which for classes and supper clubs and whatever. But where 3 years ago I could do a class five for a fiver, I do five dishes for under a fiver for the family, and it's just not possible these days. It's more like £6.79, but you know, we can still do it, but it's very easy to waste a lot of money, I think.
So
I just wanted to throw in a few tips for how to cook well on a budget, and yeah, that was the idea. So where do you want me to start?
Anywhere. I'm getting hungry. I wish you brought in some samples, but there is no samples. In fact, Greg, the salesman, said, "Is there's a cook coming in today?" Is it? Yeah, but there's no samples. Oh,
well,
and he ran off.
It did cross my mind that we could perhaps another time do some live cooking on air, and you could sample it. I'd be very happy.
I think we need to do that.
Okay. So one of the new things that we've been doing over the last 8 months is what I call pick a frugal day. Frugal day. Monday is frugal day. And what frugal day means is you're not allowed to go shopping for any extra ingredients that you may think you want. For us, often Monday is the day when you haven't got much left in because you've shopped earlier in the week and you've done your Sunday roast. But frugal day means using up whatever you've got.
Yeah.
So if it's a Sunday, if we've done a Sunday and we've done a roast chicken, then make a pasta dish out of the leftover roast chicken. Do as our mothers and grandmothers did, you know. Use lots of carbs, pulses and veg to bulk out small amounts of chicken. So, for example, our typical pasta dish might be bits of chicken chopped up, a couple of rashers of bacon if we've got them, onion, garlic, bit of smoked paprika and chilli, tin of tomatoes, pasta dish. Or alternatively, again, with our mothers and grandmothers, learn how to make some really basic things. So make pastry. Stop buying pastry. Pastry is so easy and so cheap. But if you've had a big roast pork on a Sunday, for example, and I'm not talking... So here's where Jamie Oliver does get me down. He goes, this is what to do with your leftover piece of beef. And his piece of beef looked like it cost about £90 because it was so huge. But just with a normal pork roast, few slices left, chop it up, chop up any potatoes you've got left, and mix that in with some gravy and make pasties, because pastry, half fat to flour, have some lard or some butter in the fridge, have some flour in the cupboard, you can make pastry.
That sounds lovely, actually. You know,
pasties, my kids love pasties, but it's so basic and it's using a very small amount of meat. And then if you haven't got any fresh veg left, serve with some peas, something like that. Learn how to make a basic white sauce or a basic cheese sauce, for example, and you can make a lovely chicken and leek pie. Or so leftover bits of chicken, leek in white sauce, top with mashed potato if you've got it leftovers, or top with pastry, or something my mum used to cook and I've gone back to for my kids, is a simple tuna fish pie. So we might use two tins of tuna, and she would let one tin probably stretch for five of us, and I'm a bit more generous than that. But two tins of tuna, some cheese sauce, some sweet corn, mashed potato on top. It's cheap as chips. It's actually really lovely comfort nursery type food. So frugal days, cook as our mothers and grandmothers did. That's a really great way to get you started. Do you want more?
Okay. I'm getting hungry. The more you're talking, I'm like going, it's lunchtime yet.
Okay, so one of our others, I know people say this, but do it. Make sure you have at least one meat-free day per week. So think pastas, think risottos, omelettes, quiches. All of those are great without meat. or your pulses. Chickpea and spinach curry, that's one of our basics. Or spicy baked beans, using your pulses, perhaps with a little bit of bacon but some spices thrown in there. Those are all great extras without meat. Use the things that have been lurking at the back of your cupboard. So one time you bought some red lentils. You're not even sure now why you bought them. Use them.
Yeah.
You can make a fabulous lentil curry just with an onion, a carrot, a stick of celery, fry them off in a little bit of oil, add your lentils, some spices, a tin of tomatoes. Bob's your uncle. Really simple, really frugal. I mean, lentils cost nothing and really healthy as well, yeah. Actually. As it happens. One of the others, eat what you've got. So do you ever have that thought, I wonder if there was a nuclear war, what would happen if I couldn't go out and buy any more food? How long could I last? Mm. And actually, sometimes you look in your cupboards and your freezer and your fridge, and it's almost embarrassing,
yeah,
how long you could last.
Yeah.
So you might have a few odd combinations, but get creative with those things that you've got. Dig out the, you know, I find things like frozen squid, because I just happened to see it one day and I'm like, oh, I need some squid. Oh, it's frozen. That's fantastic. Put it in. And then don't eat it. Eat it. Get it out. Stuff it with something. Eat it. And then in terms of your shopping, meal planning is great. I know it's hard to think of 7 meals for the next, but if you can think of 4 or 5 meals for the next, then, because often it's the thought process that's the most difficult. What shall I eat tonight? What are we going to have? Shop according to your plan and you'll spend less.
I actually go out now, rather doing one big shop, which I used to do, I go out about 4 times a week and I buy little bits every day, which is probably what our grandmothers would have done,
yep,
because they wouldn't have had freezers or anything, like they would have had larders, which I always say to my mum, because she buys ready meals. My mum's 84, buys it, she goes, I can't eat that, it went off yesterday. I said, did you have a larder back in the 1940s? Yes. I said, so why is it a food? They said, you would have had it in there for days or weeks going off. I said, you can eat it.
We've become so reliant on information and not reliant on basic things like our noses.
Yeah.
So look at it. Does it still look fresh? Smell it. Does it still seem fresh?
Yeah.
Taste it. Those are your things that, you know, and you won't go far wrong with those sorts of things. But yes, shop little and often, but then only buy what you need,
yeah,
rather than being distracted. So that whole, you know, going shopping when you're hungry is always, it's always bad, isn't
yes
it? We're always going to pick up a few extra things,
yeah,
that we think that we need. So only shop what you need. And then we buy basic ranges where quality is not compromised.
Mm.
You know, we buy basics. Why? And in bulk. So tin tomatoes, pulses, those types of things. Their quality of life has not been affected,
yeah,
by being in a basic range rather than. So we don't like to buy the basic cheapest chicken because we do care about how things are produced. But we do buy the basic cheapest pulses, those types of things, because there's no reason not to, if you like. If you can grow your own, that's also good, and it's a real pleasure. If it's not your thing, then maybe you won't. But we were at the weekend, we dug up potatoes, we harvested red beans, courgettes, carrots and whatever, and we put them all together with a little lime and caper dressing, which I had left over from a supper, you know, it wasn't even. And it was fantastic, and it cost me nothing apart from a few packets of seeds in January, February. And then anything you can buy in bulk, do. So if you have access to somewhere like Costco or forgotten the name of the other one, but those warehouse type shops, or you can get along with a friend, do those. If you can buy meat and fish in bulk and then freeze into family size portions or whatever size portion you want to eat, 1, 2, whatever, then you've always got something there, and it always costs less to do it that way. And get really good with mince, sausages, chicken thighs, because those are the things that are great value. Cook from scratch, enjoy your food. We do.
Next time you come in, there'll be lots of samples. And then in the background, you'll hear like, just that noise, and obviously Greg clawing at the door to get in. It's so funny. He's like, bringing any food today? I said, not today, no. It's like disappointment on his face. And he made you a coffee as well.
He did.
And if you want to find out more about the supper clubs with Catherine and also the cookery courses, it's all the W's, mustardseedcooking.co.uk. She's also always on Twitter, and you can find her on Twitter at mustardseedcook as well. On Facebook, it's /mustardseedcooking, and on Pinterest, again, it's pininterest.com/mustardseedcook. Lovely. No point nodding.
Thank you.
So you did really well, and you didn't speak fast or anything. Not like me.
I did speak northern, though, I dare say.
No, it sounds lovely. It sounds lovely. Thanks very much for coming in. We'll see you again in probably another month.
Thank you for having me. It's been
lovely.
Great.
And don't forget, if you want to go along to these supper clubs, they're delicious. I've been to three of them, although I did have to sing for my supper. But the food, I could have just sat there and just watched the music myself. It was fantastic food. And the salad you were talking about, which was it's a great idea. It was a seven-layer salad in a jar. You put the jar in front of somebody with all the salad in, and then you had a blue cheese dressing, which I put in. Then you screw the lid and you shake it. And it was just one of the most wonderful things I've had for years. Beautiful.
Great.
Lovely. Right, 11:53. I'll be back with some ads after Peace with Money.